All week, we've been talking about language in our series, Speaking My Language. Today, we're going to look to the future at how technology will help us understand different languages. And joining us to do that is Alexander Weibel, who's a professor of computer science at Carnegie Mellon University's Language Technologies Institute. He joins us by Skype. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with translation technology like Google Translate or Microsoft's Translator. How does it work?
Yes, so over the years, I think there's been a big trend on translation to go increasingly from rule-based, knowledge-based methods to learning methods. Systems have now really achieved a phenomenally good accuracy, and so I think within our lifetime, I'm fairly sure that we'll reach, if we haven't already done so, human-level performance and or exceeding it. The current technology that really has taken the community by storm is, of course, neural machine translation. It has essentially taken the entire community only 1 year to adopt it, largely because of very, very good performance increases over statistical translation. And before that, statistical translation took over from rule-based methods. And with each one of these jumps, I would say the main benefits were that more things were essentially done by learning as opposed to making modeling assumptions or rules.
Well, and those terms that you just used are probably terms that many of our listeners don't know what they mean. So could you just go briefly and simply through each one? What are these kinds of translation that you're talking about?
Okay, so first of all, when people do rule-based translation, they try to do everything by linguistic rules. And what you have to do then is create rules that explain the context of a sentence well enough so that you can pick the correct word in the output language. So if I use the word bank, are we talking about the river bank or are we talking about the financial institution? The answer is it really depends on the context. And in the past, people have done this by rules, by taking complex syntactic parsers, by using large dictionaries and ontologies to explain the semantics of the world. But as you and I know, that, of course, always leads to these jokes and these funny translations where the system simply doesn't know about some of the semantic differences that we have. The biggest problem in machine translation always is the ambiguity. We just don't know what a word means. You know, if you say, if the baby doesn't like the milk, boil it, do you mean boiling the milk or boiling the baby?
Right, exactly.
We all know that we mean boiling the milk, but that's because we know that we don't boil babies, right?
Right.
But if you now translate it to German, you know, then you need to know which one you meant because it could then refer to baby or to milk. So we really have to resolve these issues. And doing this by rule was essentially a daunting task, and people eventually gave up because you can't simply describe all the facts that we learned during a lifetime by programming rules.
So that brings us to what kind of translation?
So the next level really in the history was to go to statistical machine translation, where these things were eased up by essentially counting. The technology is pretty easy to explain because you create effectively a dictionary, and the dictionary has multiple translations. So bank would be the financial institution, and you have another word for the riverbank. And then you assign a probability. How likely is it that I'm talking about a riverbank or a financial institution? Just the word by itself. And then the statistical models would then also consider the context. And that, too, you can simply derive from large amounts of data. And so the Googles of the world obviously have a lot of data. And so by taking a ton of text data, you count how often is bank translated as a financial institution when you had as a context Deutsche Bank, right? Mm-hmm. And how often do you talk about the river bank if I were say the word of, you know, Mississippi and the river bank?
So that's the statistical translation. And then now we've gotten even further than that to, you called it neural machine translation.
Yeah. So the neural machine translation effectively, you would say, is also a statistical learning. However, it does this with multiple layers of abstraction. So That's where the word deep comes from, because you have several layers of neurons that build on top of each other. And what that gives you is a way of abstracting at various levels about language, about speech, about vision, without us actually explicitly telling it.
Okay, well, let's have a go at this. And I've got Google Translate up in front of me. And I will go ahead and say what you just said, and let's see how it does. So I'm going to translate from English to French here, and I'll say, if the baby doesn't like the milk, boil it.
Si le bébé n'aime pas le lait, faites-le bouillir.
Okay, so there you go. And then this is, I'll do German, since you're joining us from Germany right now. I'd like to go to the riverbank to take out some money.
Ich würde gerne zum Flussufer gehen, um etwas Geld zu holen.
Did it get that right?
Yes.
It's kind of amazing that it can do that so quickly into so many different languages, languages I've never even heard of on this thing.
Correct, yes. So it does that simply by learning that bank has to be translated as the river bank. And by using the word river just prior to the word bank, it knows which one to pick simply by the inherent statistics of the words and the word sequences. And the neural techniques really do this rather well. The thing that we find is particularly good with a neural translation if you have what is called long-distance reordering. So, for example, we have in German a sentence to propose a date, right? Then in German that means the word to propose is vorschlagen, but the German language is a bit perverse in the sense that if you embed this in a whole sentence, people strip the prefix vor, they strip it off and put it way at the end of the sentence. And without the prefix vor, schlagen means to beat somebody, right? So when you have in language sometimes the words between the two languages appearing at opposite ends of the sentence, that's where statistics had a lot of trouble.
What's the biggest disadvantage of this technology at this point?
So in general, I think machine translation still is rather sentence-based. So if you do what you just did is push a button and say a single sentence. We have developed, in fact, actually at our lab, we were the first to develop such speech-to-speech translation system. But in all of these cases, what simplifies it is you push the button and then you do one sentence only, right? When you do an entire lecture, then you obviously have to keep going. You don't know where the sentence begins and where it ends. You have to insert periods automatically. You have a lot of disfluencies, you know, when you have when people stutter a lot. And that remains still a research issue. Depending on how fragmented and how disfluent people talk, the translation sometimes is equivalently awkward. And that's not only because of the translation, but because the way people speak. That's, of course, for spoken translation. In the case of text, also one of the big issues is larger context to take into consideration an entire story, right? When we as humans tell stories, we really know a lot that is about assumptions about how, you know, a movie develops or how a story goes. And we use this in order to intelligently translating sentence into the other language. A machine that only looks at individual sentences doesn't. And so, again, most of the time it works remarkably well, even sentence-based, but in certain circumstances you really need to look at a broader context. Then a third area of concern where things are still limited is to have more contextualized or customized translation. So it will produce the same output, irrespective of who you're talking to, is male, female, adult, children, whether it's your boss or your buddy at the bar. And we as humans really talk very differently depending on the situation that you find ourselves. And so I think translation systems still have to become a lot more contextually and socially aware in order to get really the nicest translation for that circumstance.
So we're talking about language all week as part of our series, and I wonder whether you think that this technology is eventually going to make it so that people don't have to learn other languages. They can just use Google Translate or something else like it.
Yeah, we get that question a lot, but actually I happen to be a bit contrarian in the sense that I think it's going to be the opposite, because I think what automatic translation does for us as humans is really open doors. So we wind up actually traveling to countries or meeting people that we would have otherwise never met or never interacted with. So I think having technology as a door opener, I feel, will actually help us to make more contact with people who speak other languages, simply because it is nice, it opens our world more, and we start understanding each other more, and that's, of course, what it's all about.
That's Alexander Weibel, who's a professor of computer science at Carnegie Mellon University's Language Technologies Institute. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.